You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We have an update now here on RNIB Connect Radio about the Vocalise Describing Heritage Co-creating Access project supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund. With the input of blind and partially sighted people from a number of the Thomas Pocklington Trust Sight Loss Council, the project has been exploring through co-created audio description in 10 heritage hubs in England ways of improving access to museums, galleries and heritage sites for visually impaired people. The first stage of the project, delivering a two-day training workshop at each of the heritage hubs, has now been completed, and the next step is for the creation of the recorded audio descriptions, which will be launched in 2027. Lindsay Bywood, Vocalise Describing Heritage Project Manager, joins me now to give me a bit of an update on how the project has been going so far. Hi Lindsay, and it's great to have you back with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you again and give you an update on the project.
So firstly, Lindsay, do give me a bit of a brief reminder of what the Describing Heritage Co-creating Access project is all about, as greater access to museums, galleries and heritage sites is music to mine and I think many other visually impaired people's ears.
Absolutely, and that's what we're all about. So the project is based on the idea that blind and visually impaired people can and should be involved in the creation of audio description from the start. And so we have run workshops at 10 museums and heritage sites and art galleries throughout England over the last few months that are a combination of visual awareness training for the museum professionals and then co-creation training for everybody, and then a huge amount of actual co-creation with museum artifacts and paintings and also spaces and large exhibits like a train. We did a train and a ship by mixed groups of blind, visually impaired and sighted people with a view to then co-creating audio description for those things. So we have a total of almost 80 new audio descriptions that will be created by the project by its end.
And do give me a little bit of, I suppose, some of the highlights from the workshops from both the museums and the blind and partially sighted people who took part, as I think the workshops were very open with people sharing very different ways and experiences of audio description, which I think is very much part of the project.
Absolutely. And one of the outcomes of the project that we were hoping for is to strengthen connections between local groups of blind and visually impaired people and the local heritage sites and museums. And Thomas Pocklington Trust and the Sight Loss Councils have been fantastically helpful and supportive in that way. And we really feel that that's been a big success. So lots of museums who previously might not have known where to look or just might not have known how to approach groups of blind and partially sighted people that they might want to work with are now in touch and have bigger plans to do not only co-creation of audio description, but also other things like access panels, but also art workshops. And so there's been a lot of creativity and a lot of kind of sparking off one another, which has been really super to see. Highlights? Gosh, I mean, there was an incredible variety of museum exhibits and artifacts that were brought, and also an incredible variety of museums, from really small volunteer-led museums right through to the National Gallery and the Science Museum Group, which are obviously like very well-known and national institutions. I think one of the things that I really liked was seeing how the museum professionals were very open and very interested to learn from the blind and visually impaired people who came. And it was a kind of slightly different format to sometimes what can happen, in that we didn't invite people specifically to talk about access. We invited them to hear about their engagement and then their experiences of art and museum artifacts. And some people found that really refreshing, and other people sort of took the opportunity to talk to the museums about access, specifically the museums that we were in, but also, you know, generally things that were problematic and things that can be better. And everybody was very open and very collaborative towards sort of making things better across the board. And there was very much a kind of a learning kind of atmosphere and a learning environment. I had meetings with all of the museums afterwards, and they all came away like very fired up to do things differently and to learn and grow.
And I suspect there are many ways of describing works of art, But there are, I suspect, certain things that maybe need to come across within that description to bring that work of art to life. You know, things like the size of a piece of work, its colour, its texture, what it's trying to show us or tell us, you know, information about the artist as well. But that all depends on the work of art and what works best for it. And I think that's the approach, isn't it? It's about looking at different ways of describing works of art, and what might work for one piece of work might not work for another piece of work. And I think that's probably part of the project as well.
Absolutely. And also alongside that, what might work for one person might not work for another person. So, you know, a lot of the describing of works of art is around, well, or describing all of the things that we've done, but particularly art, because obviously you can't touch it. It's been around conversations about people's experience of the artwork, which could be from people with some usable vision, but it could also be from sighted people in the group, but it could also be a sort of imaginative experience. So what we found when we were discussing works of art, particularly at the National Gallery, was that there was a richness of imagination of trying to work out the sort of story of the picture, what was going on in the picture, and why was that scene something that the painter wanted to create. And that was a really rich and interesting way of generating a description that didn't purely involve visual elements, which people found really interesting and kind of a useful and interesting and creative way of interacting with the picture. But you're right, there is also a need for some practical details. So the other thing that we were talking to the groups about was, how would you like to receive those details, and how much detail would you like? You know, is it important that you know about the frame? Is it important that you know about where the pictures hung in the gallery and why? So again, it was a very kind of broad interpretation of describing, much more broad than you might think if you sort of came in as a trained sighted describer thinking about, you know, the size, the colour, what's in the left corner, what's in the right corner, that kind of thing. It's a different approach, and people found it really valuable.
And will some of those sort of things that you've just mentioned about ways of describing and what might be important for one person might be important for another, will that sort of be noted down as sort of, I suppose, best practice for description in the future?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily that we would talk about best practice for description across the board, because we definitely wouldn't want to in any way criticise or try to tell trained audio describers sort of how to do their jobs. And there is definitely a place for a sighted viewpoint of using visual language. But it's just the idea that there is this other way that, you know, we can work as a group, and that blind and vision impaired people can be absolutely in the process from the start. And yes, within the context of co-created audio description, absolutely, we will be putting together a series of recommendations for best practice for working. And we're very much hoping that we can take this forward at Vocalise as well and offer it as a training opportunity for museums and heritage sites who are interested in working in that way. And there are a lot that are very much interested in working in that way.
So the next stage is the writing and recording of the audio descriptions, which, of course, will have input from blind or partially sighted people.
Yeah, I mean, this part is slightly more complicated in that way, in that, I mean, it's actually already happening, because some of the workshops were happening in April. So some of the museum professionals have actually already written their descriptions, and they're already signed off and ready to record, which is really exciting. But yeah, we're having the descriptions edited by the trainers, and one of the trainers in each hub was one of our vision awareness trainers, so a blind and partially sighted trainer. So there will be input, absolutely, in that respect.
Well, this all sounds really exciting. And when might I get a chance to hear some of the recorded audio descriptions, and also possibly get the chance to visit some of the sites too as well?
Well, we're hoping that the first descriptions will be recorded as early as October. So, and we're launching a new website which will host the descriptions, and that should also be sometime before the end of the year. So they won't all be available, but yeah, you can certainly hopefully access the early ones, the ones that from the early workshops before Christmas, I should think. And the other exciting thing is that as part of the grant, we also have a small community fund to fund further work at the museums. So they have to bid for the money, but the idea is that they come to us with projects that will promote and sort of build on the work that they've done in the workshops with us. So we've had some very, very imaginative propositions, and we're just assessing those now. So they will happen early next year, and they will definitely be something that we would encourage people to visit. So I could certainly come back and talk about that at some point in the future.
Yeah, because I think that's really important, isn't it? Because, you know, now all the museums are in the process of writing and recording the audio descriptions, which will be available. But it's also a bit about how they're going to sort of promote them to blind and partially sighted people, but also a bit about, you know, sort of when we, I might like to sort of go and visit one of the museums with the description and actually see the work of art in person as well. So it's about that follow-up, I suspect, as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and definitely. And sort of ensuring that, you know, when the project finishes, which will be in the middle of next year, that it doesn't sort of just fizzle out and fade away, and that we leave a legacy from the project, from all the work and all the creativity that's gone into it. So alongside the community grants, all the museums will have access to their own audio description, obviously, and most of them are thinking about hosting them on their websites or on Bloomberg Connect or on whatever sort of other platform they have for audio description. And so there will be the opportunity to go to the individual museums and listen to the audio description with the whatever the item was that's being described. But in terms of a kind of more concentrated experience, it will be the museums that are successful in the grant process. And of course, they'll all be on our website.
Lindsay, if people would like to follow the progress of the Describing Heritage Co-creating Access project, where would be the best place for them to go to find out more and keep up to date with news about the project too?
So that's a good question. So we do post regular updates on our website, which is vocalise.co.uk. We also post updates on LinkedIn, on our Instagram and on Facebook. But anybody is always welcome to contact me. And my email is Lindsay, which is Lindsay, at vocalise, vocalise.co.uk. I'm really happy to hear from people.
Well, thank you so much indeed, Lindsay, for joining me again here on RNIB Connect Radio and for an update on the Vocalise Describing Heritage Co-creating Access project.
It's really lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.